Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. There's a story of an atheist who was out on his boat fishing in Scotland, and all of a sudden a huge dragon-type amphibian began to come up out of the water with snarling teeth that moved closer and closer to the atheist. In desperation, he shouted, "Dear God, please save me." Suddenly, everything stopped moving and the heavens opened, and he heard a voice saying, "I thought you didn't believe in me." The atheist responded, "2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in a Loch Ness monster either." Let me ask you a question. How desperate are you for God today? Now, that question can take on many forms, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But first, I want to look at Zacchaeus from our gospel reading today. Who was this guy? Well, Zacchaeus was another one of those dreaded tax collectors. We talked about the tax collectors a bit last week, about how they were looked at in society. But Zacchaeus was not an ordinary tax collector. He's the chief tax collector. He would be like the godfather of all the tax collectors that were under him. He reported directly to the Roman government. Again, remember that tax collectors earned their living by taking a piece of the cut. Zacchaeus got a piece of everyone's cut. He was pretty close to the top of the pyramid in collections. Money and power were probably things that he worshipped the most. And his heart was probably wrapped up in all of that. But we also know something else about Zacchaeus from our reading today. He wasn't satisfied. Like every human being on the face of the earth, deep from within, something was nagging at him. It's like that when you realize that you're not right with God. We can search after a multitude of things in life, thinking it will bring us happiness or joy or fulfillment in our lives. And it might, for a short period of time, make us quote-unquote happy. Zacchaeus realized there had to be something more in life than all of the wealth that he had. Spiritually, he was probably dead, and he was desperate for something missing out of his life. And then we read this, "And he was seeking to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but on account of his crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way." Now, trying to picture this. Here's this godfather of tax world having this compulsion to see Jesus. He doesn't say the crowds are too big, maybe some other time, or he doesn't say, too bad I missed it. He doesn't even try to use his status to get to his way in front of the crowd. Zacchaeus was a desperate man. He needed to know something. This isn't something that can wait. And he runs just to get a view of Jesus. And when that didn't work, he climbs a tree. Zacchaeus was the least likely person of that status in society to do something like that. This is a great act of humility on his part. This would be considered somewhat undignified in those days for someone of his status. But you see, nothing was going to stop him. Maybe he knew more about Jesus than the story tells us. Maybe Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples, a former tax collector himself, had told Zacchaeus at some point about Jesus. And maybe that seed was planted in his heart and is now burning, and he wants to know. We don't really know why, for sure. What we do know is the fire was burning so hard in the heart of Zacchaeus that he would do almost anything to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus climbing that tree reminded me of the childlike faith that Jesus spoke about in our gospel reading last week. And look what happened. When Jesus walks by, he sees Zacchaeus and he calls him by name, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And this is the great part. Jesus met Zacchaeus where he was at. Zacchaeus got as close as he could, and Jesus met him where he was. And Zacchaeus jumps at the opportunity. But the moment the contact is made, the murmuring begins. Look, Rabbi is talking to a sinner. Look, he is going to eat with that guy. Jesus had just talked to them in the parable that we heard last week about humbling ourselves before God. You know, it's awfully hard to reach out to the lost when you isolate yourselves and look down on those who need help the most. Jesus came to set the lost free. He came to give new life where there was hopelessness. Zacchaeus recognized something missing in his own heart that money could not buy. He needed something that only Jesus could give. Understand, Jesus was not yoking himself to Zacchaeus. In other words, he was not attaching himself to an unbeliever's sinner's lifestyle. The Pharisees thought that we had to steer completely clear of a sinner. Jesus taught that we should go into the world, but not be part of it. Here, Jesus was inviting Zacchaeus into a relationship with the Father. He was inviting Zacchaeus into something that was eternal in nature. This was his moment. The Holy Spirit was already drawing on his heart, and Jesus met him there. And look what happens. Behold, Lord, Zacchaeus says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll restore it fourfold. That's a radical change. Even the repayment aspect is four times what the Jewish law required if you defrauded someone. But it's not the repayment that Jesus is responding to. It's the changed heart of a sinner. That desperate need to fill that internal emptiness was now being relayed to him by only what Jesus can give, the salvation message. Jesus knew exactly where he was going that day. He knew Zacchaeus was spiritually hungry, and Jesus reached out to him. Just this past week, I had a postscript put on my sermon over the last 3 weeks. As you know, over the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about prayer. It was three parts over the last 3 weeks. And Jeremy, our son, is moving to North Carolina today to start his new job. Same company, new location. But he needed a vehicle as his vehicle died just before coming down to be with us for the last couple of months in this transition period. We went up to the same dealer near Tampa where I bought my car 6 years ago. And the same salesman is there, and I knew he was a Christian because we talked before. I even prayed with him 6 years ago. And I'll call him salesman number one. And so I called ahead as we were getting on the road. And when we got there, salesman number one had another customer at the time, and he turned us over to salesman number two until he could break away. Long story short, as we were leaving, salesman number one was going over the details of Jeremy's vehicle, and in the breezeway of the dealership out front as they brought the car or the truck around. And the salesman number two and I were standing there just talking together. And it turns out he's a Christian as well. And he said to me, I love the Lord, but I wish I could just learn to pray more. And I thought to myself, wow, I just preached 3 weeks on that. And I went over the Lord's Prayer as a model with him on how to pray, and as we discussed last week. And before we left, standing there in the breezeway, four, Jeremy and I and these two salesmen were praying together in the breezeway of this dealership. And I thought, and as I was doing that, isn't that the kind of stereotype we put on car salesmen that the same people are putting on tax collectors in their day? And here are two guys I was able to pray for them and to pray for their business and that they would grow further into the Lord for that one particular salesman. What a wonderful encounter that was, again. I share that because, like Zacchaeus, people come in all kinds of conditions. Some believers have questions and want to get closer. Some are completely lost and have questions. Many may be in between both of those areas somewhere. Some may be here today, and if you are in that category, Jesus is here to meet you today. Maybe you know Christ as Lord, but you need encouragement. Maybe you need boldness to step out and share with somebody. God wants to use you, and we need to be ready. Paul tells us we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. What that means is that everywhere we go, we represent Jesus Christ. You represent him in the way you conduct your work. You represent him when someone wrongs you. You represent him wherever you are. The Holy Spirit is not someone you take off and put on, even though we try to do that sometimes. We still have a free will and the choices to make in every situation that is before us. The Holy Spirit is always with us. He is the comforter, the counselor, and he is certainly not someone we should be afraid of. Jesus tells us that we will not be doing these things alone. He is there. I don't know about you, but I can't do that on my own. This all happens through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who is in each of us who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. We just need to step out in faith and be guided and allow those gifts to be used. And this brings me to my opening question. How desperate are we for God today? And I mean that seriously. Even if you know him, you are a Christian. How desperate are you for God in your life? Because you see, God is reaching out to all of us. He is ready to meet us wherever we are. As I said before, if you have not accepted him into your life, he's here today. If you have accepted him, he has more for you to do. He wants to accomplish so much through each of us. In our worship today, there's a song that we're going to sing in a little bit, and it really speaks to this. It's called Breathe. The lyrics go like this, abbreviated lyrics. This is the air that I breathe, your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread, your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. What this song speaks to me about is like the quote I gave from Martin Luther last week about praying is like breathing. Well, our walk with the Lord in general, spiritually speaking, is like breathing. As he fills us with his presence, with his very word, we do become desperate for him, to seek more of him, to experience more of him, to be used more by him. And that all comes by us drawing closer to him as he comes closer to us. In our attitude, like Zacchaeus, we just can't wait to get close to him. We are desperate. Not scared desperate, but a desperation that you just need more of him in your life. In 2 Samuel, David was escorting the Ark of the Covenant through the city, and he is just pouring out his heart to God. He was desperate for the closeness of God. He was dancing and leaping in the streets, and something that you might think is undignified for a king to do. But David's heart was burning for that closeness that he had never experienced before. The joy, the direction, the unique relationship that he had with the Father at that time. And the good news is we have that through the Holy Spirit that God has poured out on his church. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church at Pentecost, they realized something. This is closeness like none other. Jesus, by his Spirit, wants to meet you there. We don't need to fear him. We need to embrace him. Friday was a day in the life of the church that is known as All Saints Day. It is a day set aside by Pope Gregory III somewhere around the 300s. It's when we celebrate the life of all believers who have gone before us and the work that they did for the Lord. The Pope moved this special day to this date to counter a Druid festival called Samhain, which is a festival of death and fear. It kind of backfired over the over the centuries, and today, October 31st becomes known as All Hallows' Eve, as we get the word Halloween. There is the irony in this, in my mind, and there's an irony to this aspect in my mind. Although Halloween is celebrated in innocence by a lot of people, and there is many safe Halloween alternatives that take place throughout the country, but there are two, here are two very real issues here. One day has its roots, and it's celebrated as a day grounded in fear and death and to scare people. And one is grounded in life, here and forever. That is what God desires. Because you know what? He is desperate for us as well. For that, we can be eternally thankful, because our God, by His Spirit, gives life to His church. God, by His Spirit, gives life to those who call on Him. And He gives life to the call that He has for each of us. May our hearts be desperate for God. May our hearts yearn for more and more of Him in our life as we pray, as we gather together, as you are alone in your prayer closet and seeking after Him. May you seek Him and draw Him, allow yourself to be closer to Him. He so desires that in all of our lives. Are we desperate? May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit. We thank you that we can move in and through this world that you have given us, knowing that you are with us. Help us, Lord God, to be used by you in mighty ways, in ways that we would never expect. Use us, Lord God. Fill us with your presence. If there's anybody here that has never experienced you in their lives, Father, I ask that you would open their hearts now to receive you as Lord and Savior. And for the rest of us, Lord God, as we seek to grow closer and closer to you, we ask, Lord, to help us in those areas that we need to turn over to you. Help us in those areas that we need to grow stronger to you. Help us in those areas, if it's even just reading your word daily, more and more, give us that encouragement, Lord God, that we might really, really know you and depend on you and seek you in our lives. And I thank you, Father, for all these things. Use us, we pray. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take a moment.